We're still in our teaching on the life of Christ, and we're continuing and looking at, really, as we don't see much about Jesus' personal life. It's most to do with his ministry. And we talk about ministry, we're talking about his teaching, and teaching, preaching, and his healing and deliverance ministry. And so really, that's what we see. One of the things that really is, with God doing it the way that he did it in scriptures and revealing, is really we get to see what God's like, what God does. You know, because there's so much question. You know, people, you know, the Bible says God changes not, but most of Christianity doesn't believe that. Because they believe there's a different God today. He doesn't do all this stuff that he did. The Bible's his special book, and they were special people, and we're not. We're just the Church of Jesus Christ. I mean, but it is. It's really strange because people say God can do things. I'm not. I'll tell you what. Actually, I'm not interested in what God can do. I'm interested in what he will do. What he can do doesn't matter. You know, if I can't get him, if he doesn't do it for me, well, then what's the point? You know. And so it's what God, you know, and we need to be as Christians is what God will do. And this is what the Bible, these things are in here that we can look at and by faith respond to God. Now, we've been teaching on the healing. We're going to look tonight. I'm going to start off looking at two areas, dealing with Jesus and raising people from the dead. We want to look at this because a lot of people have a lot of ideas about things and ministry. We need to always comprehend the fact, and I've emphasized as I've gone along, and I'm going to continue to do this because Jesus was operating as a man. He didn't do any what he did as God. He had to rely on knowledge of God and also manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to understand that his manifestations of the Holy Spirit, he was just like you and I are. These are manifestations that God did through him. But, I mean, he didn't control them. Understand this. And the same way with you, you don't control them. When I came into the kingdom, there was a lot of ideas that people had. And, you know, we talked about the fact people act like, well, you know, I have a certain gift, and I have the gift of healing, or I have this gift, or I have that gift. Nobody has those gifts. They manifest as the Spirit wills. You know, if you had the gift, then you could make it operate any time. And if the gift would operate, if you had a gift of healing, everybody you prayed for would get healed if you had that. Everybody. If you don't have a gift of healing, if everybody don't get healed. When the gift goes into operation, I've had the gift operate through me, and when that gift's in operation, I've laid hands on, majority of the people I've ever laid hands on, I did it by faith. It's just by faith you lay hands on people, and that requires the person most of the time there have to believe or respond to something. And so we do that. But if the gift goes into operation, I'm just going to tell you what. Whether you don't do nothing special, it'll work. You know, it's like the gift of faith goes into operation. I've had that a number of times where gift of faith went into operation. You know what? It is believing beyond what you can believe. It is the most amazing thing. You know something's going to take place. And you know what? Nobody could talk you out of it's not going to happen. It's going to take place. You just know that you know. And it's outside of anything that I've ever had concerning faith. You know, your regular faith, you can get some doubts sometimes try to come to you. When that gift's in operation, it's the strangest thing because you could not believe that it wouldn't take place. It's strange. You know, it would be nice if you could get that to happen more often, but you can't make that happen. It operates as the Spirit wills. And so one of the things that you and I need to learn to do is this, is walk by faith as much as we understand to do and do. Sometimes because of that, gifts go into manifestation. Usually you're going to have to step out in the area of faith. And if you're not, you shouldn't expect a gift to go into operation. It's when you're out there operating by faith already. You know, you're not going to probably see the gift of faith going on if you're not laying hands on people and doing things. You're not going to see it. It's not going to take. It don't just come and take over you. The only times I've ever had it operate through me is I was just walking and operating, ministering or doing something for somebody, something, and I was operating in faith as far as I could go, and all of a sudden this thing kicked in. And you just know, it kicks in and it's like, oh my God. You know, it's just, this thing is just something absolutely different. So we're going to look tonight at Jesus and raising the dead. One of the things we will look at is this, and we're going to look at, in Luke the 7th chapter, Jesus ministering raises a young man from the dead. And there's things that we need to see and understand, and we know this is especially, you are never going to raise somebody from the dead on your own faith. Your faith, you're going to need gifts of the Spirit going to manifestation. You're going to definitely need them. Your own faith ain't going to do it. It ain't going to happen. A person can get raised from the dead by the working of miracles or the gift of faith could bring them. But you aren't going to naturally. There's one thing as I followed after Smith Wigglesworth and his teaching, and he talked about things because he had a number of people were raised from the dead under his ministry. But he talked about the fact of there was a power of God that came on. It wasn't just him. You know, something took over that was beyond his normal way of believing. So it's one of the things is with Smith Wigglesworth, a lot of people didn't understand it. A lot of people get the idea that these guys just went out and just ministered everywhere and done everything for people. But Smith Wigglesworth wouldn't go minister. If people ask him for help, he wouldn't necessarily go unless God would tell him to go there. He wouldn't go. He would, you know, God tell him, then he'd go. Well, is what happens, and I understand this, you know, you get around, God uses you in some way. You're going to find this out. People will control your life. Everybody wants you to come and do something, and everybody will want you to, so you're just supposed to drop everything and go. You can't do that. You got to need to know where you belong and what you're supposed to be doing, because people, there's a trillion needs out here, and people are always looking for somebody to take care of their need. And most of them ain't doing nothing about their need to begin with. They're looking for somebody else to come and fix it. But you can't do that. You won't live long in ministry if you do. Because you'll wear yourself out. The devil will kill you. There's a lot of people burned out in ministry. If you go back into the 1950s during the healing revivals, a lot of people, ministers, died young. Because, I mean, they would go to a meeting at nighttime, these guys, and they would minister to people to 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning and go home and that stuff. And I mean, they'd be there from, you know, like 7:30, 8 o'clock in a meeting. And then they'd turn around and minister, preach, and then turn around and you can't do that. You can't do that. I'm going to tell you, God ain't going to anoint you to stand, because number one, the anointing would kill you. The anointing will wear you out. When you get the power of God on you, and let me say this, the power of God on you for a long period of time, I'm going to tell you what, the stronger the anointing gets on me, the more it wears on me, wears on my body. The more it wears. You know, when the anointing lifts, it's like, oh man, now it's just me. So you need to understand this. You know, there's things that you have to do to take care of yourself. You know, you have to understand. Too many people, they're just, because the demand on people, you can't do that. So we have here in Jesus in ministry. Now, in Luke the 7th chapter, verse 11, it starts, now it happened the day after that, when he went into a city called Nain, and he said, many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. So Jesus is going into this town, Nain. It says many of his disciples. Well, Jesus had a lot of disciples that followed him. So there could be as many as a couple hundred actual disciples who followed after him, Jesus. And then he said there was a large crowd. So he's going into the town. It says, and when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out. So it was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. Said, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. It says, then the fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, the great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding regions. So now I want you to see this. Now understand, Jesus is operating as a man. He didn't just go around and raise everybody from the dead that was dead. Say, why here? Why did he do this? Well, we need to understand this. Jesus said he didn't do anything he didn't see the Father do. So understands the fact This is a working of God. This is not, you know, we take, well, you know, Jesus yielded to whatever the Spirit was doing. So, and it says, he looked and he had compassion on her. He saw, you know, she did, because, you know, she's a widow. This was her son. This is her support. Understand, this is a totally different thing. But, you know, how many widows are there? Were there out there? How many ones out there died? All this stuff going on. Well, he says he was moved with compassion. You need to understand this. This is not feeling sorry for somebody. Feeling sorry for somebody is not going to get, you know, that doesn't make things. He's talking about his compassion. I can just tell you this. This is not a natural compassion that somebody has. This is something on the inside. Something drew him to that thing. And you gotta need to understand that. You gotta follow what's inside of you. In the areas of ministry, especially to people, you know, there's things that God does. I've over a time, you know, it's just like this. The first time I ever had the gift of faith operate through me, I don't know, maybe I was born again, maybe a couple years. It might have been a couple years it was. And anyhow, we were living in Lebanon on Canal Street. I was sitting out back, kids were out playing the yard back, and I'm sitting on a lawn chair, and I had my Bible, and I was just sort of reading my Bible. So it was a beautiful night. It was everything. And two young girls come down in the back in the alley from our place, and I couldn't see what happened, but I knew something happened, and you could tell there was a crash, and people went down. We had these arborvitaes growing in the back, and you couldn't see the alley part of it. You couldn't see. So behind there, it took place. And, you know, when they wrecked and they hit, and then I heard one girl crying, and you didn't hear anything from the other girl. And I got up to go out there, and when I got up, I don't know. It just, this thing I never have, just came over me. It just came over. I just got up to go out there. You know, normally people would run to go see it happen. I got up and it was just a calm came over me. And you know, I didn't rush. I walked out through the yard, walked out. We had a gate in the back. I opened the gate and walked out. And there was the girl laying there unconscious on the blacktop there, just laid out. And her little sister was there. They both had bikes, and her younger sister was there, and she's in, you know, crying and stuff. And I just as calm as like, you're just like, you know what to do. And I just said to her, cause it's like, I just knew, get her out of there. Get the young one out, get her away. I said, go get your parents. So she ran off down the alley. It's like, see, this is one of the things people is knowing what to do. It's like, well, there, this just came over me. I mean, I was just completely calm. She's laying there unconscious. She had a really big thing with her head. She hit forehead down when she went down. Really big mark there. I didn't really just be able to say anything. I just walked over, put my hands on her, and spoke in tongues, maybe for, I don't know if even 30 seconds. Her eyes just popped open. She got up. That thing on her head went down to about that big. Just went down. I mean, it was me. It's like, you know, when you think naturally, boy, I'd like to do that all the time. But, you know, why does that happen? It's just like with Jesus. We need to understand. This is a manifestation. When the Bible talks about Jesus being moved with compassion, this is not talking about something natural, about feeling sorry for somebody. You need to understand it, because you'll find out when that takes place, that thing takes place, there's manifestations of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Spirit going into operation. Now, don't think it's weird that if it doesn't, you know. See, one of the things that people make this mistake, they try then to make these, well, I'm going to copy what I did before. Well, you'll fail. Don't worry, you're going to fail. Because it don't work like that. That's not the way it works. You know, I never tried to make a gift go into operation. You can if there's a way. Now, one of the things we can get ourselves, you know, keep ourselves hooked up spiritually, where the Holy Spirit, be available for the Holy Spirit to use us. Now, that's important. And that's our part. But actually, to make gifts go into manifestation, it doesn't happen in that way. Because if you need, and even with the self, you don't want to get over, people talk about, well, I was just doing this real spiritual thing, and I'm doing this and that and the other thing, and then God used me. And it's, well, see, I got me, it was about me, so God could use me, and it comes to glorify me. This is very interesting. I have never had a manifestation of a gift of spirit happen during a time where I was doing any kind of really special spiritual stuff. Never. Never had it. And I always thought that was sort of strange till I listened to Kenneth Hagin talk about the fact. He said, you know, he said, every visitation I ever had where Jesus appeared to me, he said, I was never doing nothing spiritually. He said, I totally wouldn't have been expecting it to happen when it happened. He said, I'd never been doing any special fasting or seeking God. He said, number one, he said, God one doesn't want men glorified. And see, how many times do you hear people say, well, I'm just real spiritual, this and that, so this happened and that happened, and they get people over. And what happens is they get all the glory for it. They just, you know, well, they're special, they do all these things. So what people try to do is if I do all these special, if I go on a long fast, then God will do something. See, number one, your fasting ain't going to make God do anything he didn't plan on doing. It will not happen. You cannot force God into doing something that God didn't want to do or hadn't planned. Fasting is about us, not about him. Fasting is us is to get in line. So if he does want to do something and use us in a matter he can, or he wants to show us something or teach us something or whatever it is. And see, people get over in the things as these, you know, there was really a lot of people got a lot of trouble doing this kind of stuff years ago. Back in the 1980s, it started over, and these ministries, a lot of them got over into really weird stuff. One big name minister, he got over in a thing of fasting, and he got on this fast, and every time he was, he was on TV daily, and all he'd do is every time he'd come on, he'd talk about how he's fasting and doing this and doing that. All of it was, and you know, he got into some weird stuff. Big name, still big name today. He still gets into some weird stuff. People need to understand, you get over into that. You know, the Bible says when you fast, you know, it says you anoint yourself. You don't let around and blow your horn to anybody else. If you're fasting, you just stay away from all that. And he didn't. That's all he talked about. He's on this long fast. And so, look how, boy, I am. And it's like, God's not moved with none of that. God ain't moved at none of that at all. So, you know, God's in the ministry business of what he wants to do. And in this time, in this place here, God moved. Here it is. And again, why did he pick this one? We don't know. But God, for a reason, God did. Now, sometimes it appears that God did certain things around certain people sometime because of being a witness to this. But we need to be very careful about that in our thinking. Say, well, all these people, they glorified God and said, wow, this was fantastic. This is God moving. And if you noticed, they glorified God. They didn't just glorify Jesus. They glorified God. You know, oh, God visited us. I know a person who was a friend of mine and who had himself a serious medical problem and stuff. And he got this idea that God was going to heal him because so many people knew him. And he died. Good brother. I loved him and everything else. But see, he got over in this thing and God's going to, because see, then God would use him as he was going to be the witness of this and that. I asked him one time, I said, did God ever tell you that? I said, you get an idea that God's going to heal you off of this. And you don't have any place in Scripture to stand on that. You don't have any place in Scripture. You know, back in the 80s, full gospel businessmen was big at that time and that stuff. And see, they had all this stuff. People would come in the kingdom. When they had some people come into the kingdom were some Hollywood people and rock singers and all this kind of stuff. And they just started grabbing these people and started bringing them in. Boy, people see they get, you know, God. Well, then they're just going to be, people are just going to come to God. I'm going to tell you what, some of those meetings, stuff got so carnal. Majority of those people don't even follow God today. As number one, you don't take a novice and put him in the front. The Bible says so. But see, men get ideas and say, well, this is a big name, and then everybody will follow the big name. Well, you know, it's the most interesting thing. I watch. Do you ever look around the ministry? People that come out of, lots of times that God had raised up, you know, into big ministries, they started off, they were nobodies. You'll very seldom see a big name person rise up into something big in areas of ministry. You'll never see. And see, we need to get over in our areas of thinking. You know, God, you know, Jesus was in obscurity, wasn't he? Yes. And they didn't like it. They didn't want some obscure guy. And today it's the same way. Most people are moved by popularity, even in ministry, are moved by popularity more than God. They're moved by that. That's what, you know, it draws, and they don't realize that, what they get into. So why God used this is the whole thing we can see. This is manifestations. This is one of the things, is be led by the Spirit of God. What to do. See, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You know, because people get expectations of the fact, well, maybe I ought to be doing that. Maybe I ought to be, well, I don't know. You better talk to God about it, what he wants you to do. You know, because you don't just go out and do this and say, well, this is what I'm going to pick what I'm going to do here. Just be led by the Spirit. Because how many people there were out here. Now, one of the things that Jesus did tell his disciples when he sent them out to minister ahead of him, one of the things he said is raise the dead. In other words, but they didn't go out and raise everybody from the dead. They didn't do that. In other words, they had to be led by the Spirit. They had to be anointed by the Holy Ghost to do these things. They were manifestations of the Holy Ghost. So you might look at somebody and you see that, you know, it's like I said, that friend I had, and he turned around. I'll tell you, I just sort of wanted to see him healed. But you know, I went to stay at his house one time for a week, and I stayed at his house a week and just spent a long time praying with him. We just prayed and prayed. And one of the things the Lord told me to tell him, he get healed, you're going to have to do it by faith. See, God expected that. He had a lot of ideas about things, you know. Sometimes, it isn't ministers minister wrong, but people take things wrong. They get in their own ideas of things about doing stuff. We need to be careful of that. Is learning to be led by the Spirit, letting the Holy Ghost reveal to us. And like from his standpoint, I saw that he got over in a thing and an operation there where he just kept to him. Confession became a thing of just, if I can just say this enough, if I can just do this enough, if I can just, and I could see he wasn't even a place of faith at all. He's here as a Christian. He's going to go to heaven. And you know, I started to realize, because I tried to talk to him numerous times, but I could see he ain't paying attention. And finally, I just got within me, let it alone. Because people just got caught over there in that thing. And it gets, and you can't, they would think that you're, you know, they know what you're, the words you're saying, they think they know what it means, but they don't know at all what it means. So, be led by the Spirit. You know, if I had the opportunity and say, hey, I want a miracle, if I could have done a miracle, I'd have done one for him. But see, miracles come in odd things. The first time I ever had a miracle took place was really the strangest thing in all. It sure wasn't my faith because the miracle took place. I didn't even know the guy had the problem. So I couldn't. A guy came and wanted prayer. Said he had back problems. I didn't know what his back problems were. He didn't say much of anything. I just by faith laid hands on him. I just laid hands on him by faith, and I just operated my faith. He went home. He turns around. You know, he goes home, and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll never guess, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he gives me a call, telling me what happened. He turned around and said, you know, because he couldn't bend over the whole way. He couldn't. He had had back operations and stuff, and which I found out then when he called me, because he had vertebrae that were, they call welded, whatever they do with it. And he had a metal rod in his back. And anyhow, he sort of unconsciously, he dropped something and he said, I just bent over and picked it up. And he said, I realized what I did. He said, I haven't been able to do that for a long years. I haven't been able to do this. And so he could just move around. Well, anyhow, so he went in the doctor and the doctor checked him. They did some things at x-rays and found out that his back was normal and that metal rod was gone. So, say, well, why did that happen? I don't know. God didn't turn around and say, Ed, what do you think God, we ought to do about this? What do you? Well, see, I know I didn't have faith. It wasn't my faith that made it happen. It couldn't have. I didn't even know to believe for that. I'm just praying generally for his back. That's what I'm doing. God does something. So, you know, this is one of those things that if we're going to give anybody glory, it couldn't be Ed. You know, all that Ed did was pray for this guy's back. And so it's the same way with you. You don't have to. One of the things sometimes it's good. Let me just say this. Don't get so detailed asking about people what their problems are. You can stop the Holy Ghost from being able to move. And I'll tell you why. If you know too much, the devil's going to keep them in a place where saying, well, see, you told them all of this and that, and so they knew that. That wasn't, you know, they just did, you know. We have this thing, you know, there's many times I've had praying people, they want to tell y'all, can I just tell them, no, I'm not interested. Don't tell me. Why? Because if God wants to bring a revelation for it, something that I don't know, and I say to them, and they know that I don't know it, they'll know God moved. And this is one thing, see, today we have all those people, and everybody likes to know the dirty, dirty details of everything. And that will keep God from moving. God won't be able to do what he wants to do. And so manifestations of the Holy Spirit are wonderful things to have to help people. And so keep ourselves in that place where God can use us. Something on the inside rises up. I can say this personally, even in my own life, is that things that happen during times that I'm standing in faith. And I've all of a sudden within me, all of a sudden the guy on the inside just sort of blows up. It isn't something you turn on naturally to yourself. And this is one of the things that do is this, is get the word in you. Get the word in you. See, I've never focused on gifts. I've always focused on the word of getting the word in me. And God can manifest gifts. Amen. You see, if you can't go very far in faith, your old faith and very able to stand, you can sort of limit where God can take you to. So just get the word in you. Just get there with the word and he'll use it. He'll use what you know of the word. Because when something comes along and happens, it's just like, you know, when I always tell a story about when I had my heart attack, the thing that I, you know, did, the first thing I did, I didn't focus on the devil or anybody. I just focused on the fact I focused on God. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. And I started saying from my mouth, is number one, you know, I mean, I was there. I mean, there was a lot of natural oppression on my body. But you're going to find out what's big. If you don't have a lot of word in you, you need to understand this. You're going to have trouble. Because when that stuff comes, what you mostly have in you is what's going to come out of you. And it's like they say, you take a tube of toothpaste, you squeeze it, and toothpaste comes out. You know, mashed potatoes don't come out. It's a tube of toothpaste. And don't expect to get the squeeze on you and something come out of you you haven't put in you. Understand that. Because what's in you, see, I believe just like with that. See, God was involved in that thing with me because of what was in me. First thing that I did is I talked to him. The devil, you know, started talking to me about dying. And I said, I ain't dying. This ain't between me and you. I said, this is between me and my dad. This is between me and my father. It has nothing to do with you. And see, what is your response? What's your response? Whatever is in you at the time. And so get that. This is Jesus. Jesus is going along in ministry. Something's happening on the inside. He is following what's on the inside. This compassion he's talking about, because we'll find out later about this compassion, because it happens again in the raising a person from the dead. Because there's something, when you come into these kind of things, you need to be hooked up on the inside of you. Because it's easy to go on the outside. The way God does things is like, you know, I tell the story, you know, the first time I ever had it happen to me where, and this kind of thing goes on sometimes. In the areas of ministry, I don't know why God operates. Sometimes, from the standpoint of healing, you can have whatever it seems like, whatever the person has, comes on you. You don't know about it. First time I ever had it, we had a full gospel business men's meeting. And we had a speaker and stuff. They have a speaker does. They were ministering to people. I was the president of the chapter at the time, and I was just sort of sitting there, these other people letting them minister, and they're ministering to people. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you what, I got chest pains that were just really, you know, it's like, man, this is just, this hurts. I mean, it's just hurting. I mean, just like that, it came on me, and I'm just sitting there thinking, man, what is going on and what goes on? And all of a sudden, it went through my mind. I just thought, this ain't me. This ain't me. See, because you got to get down. See, most people, you can't get focused. Even if you're having a problem, you can't take the focus on your body. As many people do, they get a problem and their focus is on their body, whatever it is going on. And their inner man's trying to tell them something, but they can't hear it because they keep amplifying what's going on in their body. And so I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, I just came to me. It's like, this can't be me. And all of a sudden, I just stopped and said to the Lord, what's going on? Somebody's in pain. And somebody out here is in pain. So I just stood up and said, there's somebody out there, you have really severe chest pains. I said, is anybody out there have right now, you're having really severe chest pains. See, when I got up and said that, it left me. And honest, this guy in the back raised his hand. He stood up. He's a Mennonite farmer. He stood up and raised his hand. And I said, come on up here. And he walked up. And then he told me, he said, a cow kicked me tonight. He was milking cows and one of them kicked him. Boy, I'll tell you, cow kicking the chest will hurt you. He said, I got kicked in the chest. But see, here's one. Listen to the Spirit. Understanding the anointing. Don't follow logic. Follow the Spirit. So what? Here's logic says, well, God brought him up. It was a healing. Well, he did. He wanted a healing. Not like I thought. So I walked up, laid my hand on his head, and started praying for healing. Well, see, there was anointing on me to pray for him. God had me call him up there. Just that there was anointing there. I put my hand on him, and I started praying, the anointing lift. You need to learn that. Pay attention to what's happening. If it lifts, you stop. You just don't going to keep going and pushing through. You stop. That anointing lifts, you stop. Well, I went and did it. You know, sometimes you get pretty slow at this. I took my hand off a little bit. I laid my hand back on his head again, started to pray. And the anointing came back to me. I laid it on his head. It lifted. And then I started listening on the inside and on the inside. It kept coming up to me. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking, this guy's chest pain. See, you get over the logic. This guy gets you. So for the third time, I lay hands on, start going to pray for his healing. The anointing lifts. See, some people are just slow. You know, it took me three times. I thought, I was trying to look at him and said, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, no. I said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. I just stopped right there. He started talking in tongues, got instantly healed. See, God had something different planned. See, this is why being led by the Spirit, you need to learn to do that. Your logic about things. See, sometimes you're just going to minister to people, lay hands on them, nothing comes, that's what you do. But I found this out. You always listen to your spirit. There's many times God's trying to bring something along, and the reason gifts don't go into operation is because people follow logic. What seems right. The whole time they get it, there's a sense of something. But see, we get afraid to follow that sense. See, we want stars and sky rockets going off, and we want all kinds of things to happen that, you know, so we know. And all the time it's just that inward witness. Follow that inward witness. Just follow it. Say, well, what if I'm wrong? Well, you've done that before, so get over yourself. I want to tell you, this I learned over the years. I have hit it a whole lot more than I missed it. Just by willing to go over and follow that, just didn't seem like much. Just had a leading. Just went over and followed. And then God did something. And so get yourself over there where you turn around. And so people say, I don't want to look like a fool. I'm sorry, you are. Get over yourself. You're not great, God is. See, you got to get over the things where you will humble yourself. This is what we have to learn concerning ministry, is humble ourselves to allow God to move. And so, one thing is I saw when Jesus, over the years of studying these things, where Jesus looked, I got as a young Christian, I thought, this is where place you want to get to, is where Jesus is at here. When Jesus went out and ministered, I found this quite remarkable reading time and time again in the scriptures. When Jesus ministered miracles and stuff, things are happening. And it said the people glorified the God of Israel. See, now how can you go out there and do all this marvelous stuff and they praise God instead of you? See, a lot of people are doing a lot of things that ain't God. It's to bring glory to men. We want to minister so when people move, when God moves, they know it's God and ain't you. And it seems, I tell you, I would think if anything of Jesus' ministry to me that stood out was the fact of here's one in the earth, the only guy walking around on the face of the earth who don't have the sin nature. God can move through him and do all kinds of stuff. And yet what he does, God's glorified. People glorify God. And see, we should, that should be a thing that we're really get ourselves set. As in this fact is, we want God glorified. It isn't trying to make us a big deal. It's trying to make him a big deal. Last I checked, I never saved anybody. I never died for anybody to go to heaven. You know, I can't do none of that. And so it's one of the things is, you know, our job, all we do is we just do what Jesus did. We obey God, follow God, preach the word, tell people the scripture. Faith comes by hearing the word. Tell people what God said. Do what God shows us to do and let the rest to him. You know, it's just phenomenal what God will do. God has taken people, some of the most insignificant people, and done some of the most marvelous things through them. And that's what we want to come to. Because of this, people will always try to make idols out of people. Always. People follow people too easily. They follow people. And what happens is following people, their people that they follow become their God, and they don't realize that this is happening. Because, see, if nobody can speak against your God or say nothing, when they even mess up, there's a problem. You need to understand. This is why we don't follow people. I appreciate what Brother Hagin did, but he never saved me. Thank God he followed God the best that he did, and I learned a whole lot from it. But it's God. He got what he got from God. He didn't get it because he was so smart. He got what he got from God. So, we need to understand this and do this. So Jesus did it. He raised this young man from the dead. He's just obeying God. And God got glorified out of it. People knew God visited him. Hallelujah. Amen. So glory to God. So when God uses you, we want people to say, my God visited us. Hallelujah. Wasn't that good? And that's why I always point to him. Now, John wrote an incident in John, the 11th chapter. We're going to start there. We're not going to go in and finish this tonight, but we want to start. There's some things we can look at in the beginning. Again, where we have here God working and doing something. And it's not ordinary. This is not an ordinary thing. And this is why we need to know. Generally, something happens, you know, and we want to go minister. Something happens, goes on. You generally go do it. You're walking by faith. You don't know any other. God hasn't said anything else. But sometimes God may say something. In John, the 11th chapter, starting at verse 1, it says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus, it says, loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place he was. Now, we need to understand. Jesus didn't know this by his own wisdom. This is a manifestation of the word of knowledge. He knew. When they came and saw somebody, he knew something. Now understand, if he did this because he's the Son of God and all this, he did it because of that, there's no point we study this stuff. It ain't going to help us none. It ain't going to do nothing for us. You know, we just read a wild story and let's make a movie and make money off of it. What do you think? We'll make a superhero movie. So what does he do? He's sick and he made this message. He said, this sickness is not unto death. Well, now, he did die, but he made a statement. This is not unto death. Understand, going into this whole thing, Jesus knows he's going to raise him from the dead. He knows it. He knows it now. See, now here's a natural perspective. He's sick. They send somebody to him. We got to get there. He gets in him an inward witness. Don't go stay here for 2 days. How are you going to act? No, I'm serious. I will just say this. We usually act too quickly. I've learned this over the years. When we call emergencies arise, most people shut God off immediately by what they do. I've learned this when something serious happens. The first thing I want to do is talk to the Lord. First thing I want to hear about, I don't want to hear about all the whatever from the doctor or the ambulance or whatever. I want to know, what am I supposed to do? See, people start quick doing, oh man, this starts happening. We have to do this. We got to do that. I learn over time. I don't do that. I don't do that. See, people even go through things of praying. They get talking to God, telling God what they want. They never ask God what He's going to, what He wants to do, or what they can do. Sometimes the people, you can't do certain things. Sometimes He might want to do something. You know? You got to find out where people are. You remember that, Conrad, you remember when your mom fell out in front of your place there and fell down? You see, they were all standing out there around there praying and going through the whole thing, and I just knew the whole time, this ain't the thing. They ain't spending no time thinking what God has. She's in pain. They're trying to make something happen. She ain't in the place to believe for that. She wasn't, and I just knew it the whole time. This thing ain't gone. They ain't paying a bit of attention to her. This is about them getting something done. We got to stop this thing. We got to get it. Finally, I got everybody saying, "Now, you know, knock it off." I said to her, "What do you want? What would you like?" I said, "You know, if you need an ambulance or whatever." She said, "I believe I need to go to the hospital." I said, "Then that's what we're going to do." So you can sit around and do all your stuff unless God tells you anything different. Stop and listen. Pay attention. Don't go through shenanigans. Because I knew there's just a lot of unbelief praying there. There's a lot of unbelief things. People are just, you know, we're going to do this. No, you're not. I can't do it without God. I have never healed one person in my life. I've never done it. But you know, I want people to get the best. I want people to get help. I don't want them to suffer because I want to go through some religious shenanigans. Whatever we can do to get them help to where they can go, they can get help. Let's do it. Doesn't matter what you can believe for. We're dealing with other people. Yeah. Unless the gift goes into manifestation. And I just knew standing there, that wasn't going to happen. I just knew that. I'm going to tell you what. The atmosphere was thick with unbelief. People trying to make something happen. The whole time I stood there, I just stood quiet while all the people were doing something. I just thought, I go quiet. Why? I want to know what we can do. I want to know. Don't be always so quick. This is not a criticizing. This is a good help. I've learned this over the years with things. I have seen it. I've seen it where I've got the wisdom to know what exactly to do for a person sometimes. Sometimes, especially like you're dealing with your own family and your own kids, you can do some things and, you know, but I stopped, you know, in the middle of emergency. I don't just jump and go do something. Cause I'm going to tell you what, the great physician, I'm going to tell you what, he lives inside of me. And get that fact. See, you got to come to things. The help I need, is the Holy Ghost a helper? Amen. See, we need to get over there. We start really believing that. I got the helper in me. Let's converse with the helper and find out what's happening here. What's going on? See, I'm going to tell you, it might not make sense to people. Many times, I've saw this over the years. Now, I got a call one time from a guy, and he said, you know, a family, it's a Mennonite family, a little boy drowned in their pond at their farm. But I get a call from a guy, and, "Hey, I let you go over with me, and go over, you want to raise that boy from the dead." I said, what's this we stuff? I said, who told you that? I said, God didn't tell me. You know, I said, did they ask you to come over? Did they ask you to come? Well, no. I said, well, they never asked you to come. This is just, I'm just going to go over there and do that. I said, God told you. He said, if he tells me, I'd obey him. I'd do what he said. But I said, he never said nothing to me. So I said, he talked to you. Quit trying to get me to do something just because you want it done. I said, that ain't going to happen. It ain't going to work. You see, people get, I've had a number of times where people, somebody died, and people wanted me to raise them from the dead. The person from the dead. And I knew it wasn't going to happen. I knew that wasn't going to happen. In one instance, it was a person even in our church, and his wife died, and he wanted me to raise his wife from the dead. His wife wasn't going to get raised from the dead. She died in unbelief about her problem, and I knew it wasn't going to change. I knew it. Finally, I had to talk to him later about it because, you know, he wanted her raised from the dead, but she wasn't going to. He finally admitted, yeah, she got over and she wasn't really walking in faith about stuff and things. She wasn't doing things and got herself in some real serious medical problems. I was not paying attention. And see, people turn around and they want you to do something. And see, you can't do things. We just don't make it happen. You know, we read these stories in the Bible. How many dead people did Jesus pass by? How many people? You know, there's people dying. You know, in that time period, people, a lot of people didn't live to be very old. And so, a lot of death going on. He isn't raising everybody from the dead. And you need a manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Is number one, you're going to either need the working of miracles or you're going to need gifts of healing going to manifestation. You're going to have, because if a person's raised from the dead, they're going to have to get healed whatever they died from, or they're going to die again. Whatever happened in the body is going to have to be fixed. Just like that. I mean, I just can't go around to people and just generally go around to anybody and, you know, just do that for them. If I could, my word, could I get a name for myself? I'll tell you what. Now, this is not discouraging. Lay hands on people by faith. But you know what? Generally, you're going to minister people. People come to you and ask for something or ask to be prayed for. But I want to say this to them. Lots of times the people talk to them. See, a lot of people want some quick fix and that stuff. You're going to have better success with people if you can get them to move with you. Instead of, well, you just do it and I'll just go on and do my thing. But let's get in. As you sit down and take the time to talk with people and that stuff. See, everybody wants everything quick. Yeah. We like to have things quick. And so Jesus here, I'm sure me and Mary and Martha, they're looking in a direction here. Their brother's dying. And God's going to do something, but it is not, it from the sense realm, this don't make no sense. You know, I just think from the standpoint, gee, would I listen to the Holy Ghost? What would you? You know, think about it. Okay, he needs help. Yeah, God wants to stay here 2 more days. Did I really hear it right when I spoke that word of knowledge? Now, let me say this. I'll just tell you, this will happen to you. God will reveal something to you, and things just get weird after that. And the first thing you'll start thinking, did I really hear that from God? Did I really hear that? See, because things come along and what happens doesn't look like what God said. See, this is where faith is, this is where it takes to walk by faith. See, faith is the evidence of things not seen. So around you, it don't look like what's the words that came to you that gave you faith. And around you, it don't look like it. Oh, stay here 2 days. Okay, this is... So sometimes things like this will happen. Why are these put here? I think they're put in here for reasons. I believe this person with all of us. I think God has spoken to us at times over things, and they just seem... We didn't think it was... You know, we just thought we had a wild thought. And it wasn't a wild thought. It was God trying to say something to us. It was God trying to reveal something to us. And so, you know, don't shoot yourself in the foot over it, you know. But these things are put in here in the scriptures. They got to be for purpose of this. So God doesn't always do what seems normal to people. This is why Jesus got in so much trouble. God kept healing on the Sabbath, getting Jesus in trouble all the time. You know, following God gets you in a lot of trouble. It'll get you in trouble with a lot of Christians if you follow God. Because they got their laws and rules they made. Yep. They got their stuff that you, this is how you do it, or this is when you do it, or when you don't do it, or this is this, this is that. This is how to do it, you know. You know, most Christians, they think you got to have hands laid on you to get healed. They don't, you know, you do things, you know. Kenneth Hagin, you know, I mean, God, I often think from the standpoint, you think, like with him, I always listen because he get caught up to heaven, Jesus touches his hands and puts a healing on him. Said, you go tell people that you saw me, then I laid my hands in your hands and gave you a healing anointing. And if they will believe that and you lay hands on them, they'll be healed. Now, there's nowhere in scripture from that standpoint. But you know what? If people didn't believe it, they didn't get healed. And people believed it, they got healed. They believe he saw Jesus. And Jesus said, that's what you go tell them. Boy, you get popular quick. Should I tell you how popular he got? He quit doing it because he got so much trouble from the church. They don't care who stays sick. What it matters is you're not following what the way we believe it. And Jesus called him up to heaven about it and said, you ain't been doing what I told you to do. He said, well, Lord, I didn't want to cause, I just get in so much trouble. He said, look, Jesus said to him, who's your Lord? He said, well, you are. He said, who do you think you ought to obey? He said, yes, sir, I guess I'll obey you. Lord said this to him, you're going to obey me or else. He said, I didn't like the sound of that else. So sometimes God will tell you things and they ain't going to line up with people do. They ain't going to line up with what people do. So, hallelujah. We'll go on about this story the next time we'll look at this thing. We find out things here there's a lot of neat things in this story here. We find out that people say they have beliefs, but we find out they really didn't believe what they said they believed. And it's not to criticize them. It's like with ourselves. We get around in ourselves. Over the years, people, you know, they said they believe certain things. I believe this and I believe that. And then when it came down to it, they had a head knowledge about it. But when the pressure was on, it was like they were doing something else, you know, because it really wasn't in them to do it. And this is what you got to do. Is get it within you till you can do it when the pressure's on. I was really thankful from the standpoint, I mean, God put me in some hot spots just concerning our family and doing things of standing, and you know, things weren't necessarily easy to do. But you got to stand with what's on the inside and follow it. The outcomes were good. They were outcomes that we wanted. We saw miracles after miracles after miracles, but they didn't come because it was easy from a mental standpoint to follow things and do because things were contrary to. But I knew how to stand with what was in me. I knew how to do that. And so you got to learn. This is one thing. A lot of people, that stuff that we expect like miracles and things happen that there's really no confrontation with anything. You need to now know something. The devil don't lay down and go to sleep. And God will want us to, God always wants you to walk by faith, which means this, if he tells you something and you don't do it, you're not walking by faith. I told Kenneth Hagin, I'm glad I heard this as a young Christian. He said, I'm going to hold you as accountable as what I tell you is what's written in the book. He tells you to do something. You're in disobedience. I learned this. You're in disobedience if you don't do it. You can't be in faith and not do what he told you. Not just what's written in the book. He told you to go do a certain thing. Just say, well, Jesus is doing this. If Jesus wouldn't have obeyed this, he wouldn't have been walking by faith. Wouldn't be walking by faith. See, people act like we bypass these things that are right. Growing up, I got, you know, there's a lot of things I could do, but as I got a little bit older as a Christian, God didn't tolerate me on a lot of things. And so you need to come to things. You know, we do with children, you know, you're learning to do it. Like you're talking about the boys tonight, they're learning to tie their shoes, you know. You know, in a few years, they won't be sitting around talking about if they can tie their shoes or not. They better tie their shoes. That's what it'll be. But an expectation, and it's good. It's a good expectation. It's about growing up. And the church knows very little about spiritual growing up. They don't know much about it. They don't know much about growing up. They don't realize that God is the Father and He will correct you. His expectation of what you ought to do, and sometimes it's like, it ain't fun on your flesh. Hallelujah. But you understand, I want you to understand this. The benefit of doing the will of God is phenomenal. It is. Hallelujah. People might not love what you do in doing the will of God. People may not love it. They didn't love what Jesus did lots of times. They didn't love what He did. So you'd think you did. You know, people getting healed. Lots of times, people, that's not, they're more interested in their religious traditions. They have more faith, a lot more faith in their religious traditions than they have in the Word of God. As I found out, you know how to get rid of a lot of religious traditions, religious ideas. Back a number of years ago, when the Lord dealt with me and said to me, why do you believe what you do? Well, you believe. And I thought, well, I guess He's trying to tell me to go back over scriptures on things. And I started going back over stuff and found out, dear Lord, I accepted a lot of things. Even people teaching, I accepted a lot of things. Got down, studied, and thought, Bible don't say that. Well, it wasn't their fault. I had the Bible the whole time. So that was my fault. Hallelujah. Kindly, He woke me up to it. Told me to go back and do it. And I started going back over things. I thought, gee, things are different than I thought. So now I thought about this. I thought, you know, I was teaching what I was teaching before. There's things that wasn't, you know. There was things of truth, but wasn't the whole truth, nothing but truth. Praise God. But we're growing up, and I'll tell you what, I don't want to be, a lot of people, they seem to like being a baby. I don't like it. I like growing up. I like, growing up means this, responsibility. Yeah. And I like responsibility. And you're finding this out. If you take God's responsibility that He gives you and you take it, you come to the place where you end up being a worker together with Him, not a little baby sitting on daddy's lap and you got to be burped all the time. And I'll tell you what, there's benefits that you'll get babies never get. And that's what you want to get to. Hallelujah. You'll get to know Him in such a deeper way than other people will. And He'll bless you through it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just want to say thank You tonight for Your goodness and mercy. Thank You for revealing these things to us. And Lord God, if anything, we just want to be like our Master Jesus. We want to make sure, Father, that You get glorified and magnified. You're something else. You're incredible. I just am amazed, Lord God, that man in the earth and You wanting to use us the way that You do. I'm just amazed at it. Hallelujah. I just want to thank You. We're so fortunate to have a God that wants to use us and reveal Himself through us in this earth. And I just thank You, Lord God, especially You have been so patient and so kind. Hallelujah with us. And thank You, Lord God, for teaching and instructing us, giving us, Lord God, to patiently showing us, Father God. And thank God, You're not against us, You're for us. Amen. And we give You the glory for it all. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.